I don't remember where we were. Do you remember?
Actually, I had started to ask you about being the newbie creator
All
and
right.
what led you to become an event coordinator and how did you become an event coordinator if anybody's interested in becoming one next year?
I see. Like I said, I just really had gotten so much out of it last year that I really wanted to give something back. So I kind of was pondering that question when we got to the point in the convention last year where there was a feedback session, and Brian and Adam really worked hard to get people to share feedback and to do that in small group and as a large group and to really elicit responses. And as I heard comments and I pondered my own experience, I got to thinking that one thing that I might have to offer, because everybody else is so experienced in the AFOL community that you sort of become blind to or forget about what it's like to come in as someone who hasn't been in that community forever and ever, and you forget about what kinds of things would be helpful to feel like you can get connected and be a part. So I just emailed Brian once they had the 2008 Brick World website up and running, and it said, contact us if you have any questions or whatever. So I sent him an email and said, I'd like to help out this year, and here's a thought. What do you think? And kind of gave him a list of things that I might be able to do, so on, and he very enthusiastically emailed me back and said, "Great, let's do it. You can be the new attendee coordinator, and that'll kind of be your cap." That's the rest. That's how I got started.
Now, can you share with us the wonderful idea that you just posted to the group about the buttons?
Sure. One of the things that I noticed during the public days last year, I helped out with traffic control a little bit during the public days, doing things like pulling the chain cordons that kind of tend to inch their way up closer and closer to the displays back, and just sort of helping route people around through the displays. And I could tell people had questions and didn't know who to ask. And if I happened to be pulling the cord out around a certain display, they would invariably ask me. And I knew absolutely nothing about it. So, and the coordinators, even though they tend to be very knowledgeable and well-marked in their coordinator shirts, are really busy coordinating. And so, they have their own lists of responsibilities. So I really felt like to have people job it was to be marked clearly marked and available to people, particularly to the public, but also to conventioners, to just answer questions about various displays would be really an inviting and helpful thing, and would help kind of pull people further who were there for public day and just looking into their interest in the Lego hobby. So I had these large buttons printed up that says, "I'm a Brickspert. Ask me about," and then there's one for castles, there's one for a great ball contraption, which says GBC on it. So already people are going to say, "Well, what's GBC?" So it's a kind of a conversation starter, and the AMCP and so on. So hopefully those will get the public more willing to ask questions and ask the que and then also the rest of us will sort of know who's got some background in a certain thing, and we can route people to each other in their various areas of knowledge.
Yes, I think it's a wonderful idea personally.
Thanks.
Let's go on to tips. If I'm a first time attendee to the convention, what would you tell me? What should I do?
Well, that's actually a question that I've been wanting to put out to the community and gather more input from other viewpoints about. But what I would actually tell people is, I think people have this feeling like they have to have a mock and it has to be really good and whatever. I was so glad that I just made the decision the first year just to go and to sit in on the sessions, to sign up for the classes, to hang out and watch people build. and learn and just soak it all in. And so I would really encourage people, don't feel like you have to be at a certain level with your Lego hobby to participate as a conventioneer. Come in and jump in and just relax and enjoy it.
Now, what if I have a 12-year-old that really wants to go? Should I go as a to be a part of the convention, or should I just try the public day first? What would you recommend?
I really think it depends on the person. Emmett was, my son was 13 last year when I brought him, and I would say he was kind of close to the bottom of the age of really being. I think a 12-year-old could participate. Depending on, just depending on the kid, and depending on their interest and commitment to the hobby. He was so into the hobby that, he was well able to sit through sessions and to be respectful of not touching things and and sort of supervise himself and just stand and watch people and so on. So I really think it depends on sort of the commitment level and maturity level of the child. I also want to encourage people to think about their own needs because it can be very frustrating for an adult to bring a child along to something that they, in fact, themselves want to really get a lot out of, and then realize that they're very frustrated and wish they hadn't brought the child because they're not getting the chance to do what they want to do. So you've got to weigh out several factors, I think, in in your own situation before you make that decision.
Last year, one of the grandmothers in Tampa area, her and I were exchanging email and phone calls a lot last year because she wanted to take her grandson to it, and she was going to be up in Chicago around the same time, and she'd had family up there that she'd be staying with. So she was asking me a lot of questions, and I try to encourage her, just like you said, it can be very stressful. It can be a lot of activity. Make sure that you take some time for yourself and have some downtime, but also really enjoy and soak in everything that you can at the time. And I'm glad that they took the step to actually come and attend the event as a conventioneer, and not just a public day. I was kind of pushing them towards the public day just to get their feet wet, because I don't know their situation and everything. But
Sure.
as things warmed up and they came, I think they had a wonderful time, and I hope they do come back again this year. And I haven't, I need to check the website, but I don't know if they have signed up for it yet or not.
Yeah, that's a great example.
And it's very interesting. This particular event, I think we had a lot more younger people than we ever had before.
And again, I think that part of that is the philosophy that Brian and Adam have about Lego. One of the things that I really appreciate about them is saying, one of our responsibilities as an AFOL community is to nurture this hobby that we love so much in the next generation.
Yes.
And I think that really came through in the way that they planned the event and the way that they got it out there in the public.
So something a little less serious. What themes do you like to build in, if you like to build into a theme, and give us a little bit of stuff that you like to do with Lego.
Adventures is definitely one of my favorite themes, and now with the addition of the Indiana Jones stuff, I'm really enjoying that. Castle is also a favorite theme of mine. I actually have a minor in medieval history and really enjoy seeing some of the building that really expert builders have done in reproducing very very authentically some real castles and so on. And then I have to admit that I like Belleville. I don't use the big figs. I pass those on to my granddaughter, but I the pieces and I like the pink and I like the frou-frou-y stuff. So and it's one of the things that I in sort of corresponding with people a little bit on the on through email and on the web have discovered is that there are a lot of what I refer to as closet Belleville builders out there because since it's sort of a juniorized theme, a lot of people don't want to admit that they actually build with Belleville, and that's one of the reasons, along with wanting to, you know, when we look at, like I said, encouraging new people into the hobby and in the next generation, one of the things that, you, as you know, we discussed as coordinators was the whole role of female fans of LEGO who are in such a minority in the hobby, and ways to sort of encourage that group. And so one of the things that we ended up with is to go ahead and risk having a Belleville contest that I hope people will really get excited about. I built two exhibition pieces for the contest table that are very sort of traditional in that they use a Belleville base plate and use a lot of the castle pieces. But I've always wanted to try steampunk and never have. So I thought, I got to try a Belleville steampunk because, you know, they just like go together somehow. So I did putz around a little with that and came up with a very fun piece. Like I say, I'm far from an expert builder. Since I didn't interface with the adult community for so many years, I was sort of doing, you know, sort of recreating the wheel, reinventing the wheel in my building all the time. And so I don't have the skill level. I don't think that, you know, most people who have been building as long as I have do. But I do enjoy it, and I do see progress in myself, so that's always encouraging. But those are kind of my favorite themes, and we talked about doing an adventure display this year, and just didn't have the time to pull it together. But that's definitely on the table for future Brick World, and there will be, of course, the Jurassic Park display this year for the adventure lovers.
Oh yeah.
And our layout, I love doing landscaping and layout, which I think is in part because it dovetails well with, my son likes me to do it. I build the structures and the scenery and so on, and then he builds the vehicles and designs the minifigs and so on for his adventures. So we started out with a card table, and then we went to a dining table, and then we added more leaves and added more leaves, and when we ran out of a way to add leaves, we went to a ping pong table, and now it's a ping pong table and a dining table. And my husband says he thinks it's about time for us to get a zip code for it. So that's our Lego Island, which is an adventure type. It's a layout. You know, we can change whether we put castles on it or dinosaurs on it or whatever, but it's basically a large landscaped layout, and that's what I really enjoy doing.
Awesome. Sorry, I still can't get over Belleville steampunk. I'm sure you're gonna have a whole group dedicated to it next, after this podcast. Watch for it on Flickr. I'm sure you'll find 15 or 16,000 people start posting Belleville steampunk.
That'd be great, and I'm sure they can do it way better than I did, so it'd be really fun to see.
Well,
I've also thought how much fun it would be to cross Belleville with things like the Aqua Raiders, or the, you know, there's several themes that I keep thinking, you know, you put that together with Belleville and you could really come up with something pretty interesting. So I encouraged my twin, like I said, anybody there out there want to try doing a Belleville comic book character, you know, have a Bellmobile and, you know, the Bell Cave, you know, whatever. So
the unique thing about me is all my nieces and nephew, I've got three nieces and one nephew. So I've been forced to buy a lot more pink Lego than I ever had before. And to be honest, my wife now makes me go out and buy pink Lego for her, so.
All right, yes. That's what
I have
see.
A new respect and new love for it, so.
Well, I've really appreciated Joe Menno's work in Brick Journal in highlighting. One of the interesting things that I think is very true that comes out there is women builders build differently than men do. Of course, that's a gross overgeneralization, and I realize it's totally politically incorrect, but the attention to detail and certain things, the way they use color, and there are other aspects that just tend to be, you know, tend to result in a different interest in a different product outcome. So, you know, it's, I hope that, you know, in the coming years, the Lego company will be able to sort of tap into that and realize that there is a really unexplored market out there to a great degree.
Yes. So all of you female fan of Lego out there, get a hold of Esther at the Brick World Convention. And
that's right.
Start a new theme of just female fans. No,
that's
actually,
right.
Anyway. Did you want to take a few seconds and talk about the mansion build?
Sure, that'd be great. Several things motivated us to try the mansion build. One of them was actually the female fan of Lego issue. The furniture is just not something that Lego has put into its sets historically, and we thought it would be really fun to open up to the adult Lego community the opportunity to do some experimenting with furniture design and really focus more on the interior of the buildings. A second aspect was the whole aspect of scale and commitment, sort of, to actually be able to contribute something. I can't conceive of how many hours it takes people to build some of those GBC contraptions or some of the castle setups, some of the train setups. We wanted something that would be a collaborative project that people could participate in on a much smaller scale. And as Kevin and I, and with Joe Menno's help, were Kevin Lauer is the coordinator for that project. And as we were coming up with a standard, you know, we could, the builds that we did were taking, 2 hours. And that was, without having the standard exactly squared away yet. So it's something that people can pop into a corner of their suitcase or their car and have room to bring and have time to build. And that was, that was a big piece of why we wanted to come up with something new.
I think it's a brilliant idea. I think over in 10,000stein, year before last, they did something similar, but on a different scale. It was basically little rooms, but rooms dedicated to certain themes. So you had classic space, you had Blacktron, you had... I'm sorry?
I said that sounds really fun, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I like that you guys kind of expanded on that and turned it into its own theme. It's almost like a cross between a vignette, and yet it's kind of self-contained, and it's contained well enough, like you said, when you do travel, because you can just pick it up, throw it into your travel bag, and not have to worry about it being all in pieces by the time you get to your destination. So I love it from that perspective, that it's small, self-contained, but yet there's some wonderful buildings inside, or potential for wonderful building inside. And like
right.
You said, the time savings too.
Right. And you, they really are sturdy because of the brick plate rather than just a plate or a base plate being the underside of it. They really are sturdy little guys when you get them put together. And we do really hope, we're looking really for a combination, I think, of wild and crazy room ideas and very conventional, what you would see in a mansion. I'm excited and looking forward to seeing and very much hope that somebody will come up with a great library. And also, I'd love to see a billiard room. Also, it'd be fun to see some office-type themes, to have somebody do like what an architect's office might look like or things like that. So I hope we get a nice mix of things like that with some really, really fun, very imaginative. Those of you who have been out on the web and seen our standard, you saw the Indiana Jones themed room that I did. So I hope we get as well some of that kind of thing. I suppose I'm feeling this sense of obligation that I really ought to come up with a Belleville room, before Brick World. So that's probably next on my build list.
Can you send me that link? Because I don't think I've seen that yet. Later
okay,
after this,
sure.
And I'll forward it on to James so that he can also post it along with the podcast too.
Great.
Other things like the grand ballroom or the great staircase.
Right.
Some other good, I mean, you could actually pull in a lot of comedy things if you go the Office route with Office Space and
Right.
tie in some movies into that too.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, see, speaking of movies, you could come up with some interesting, historic rooms too. I'm not thinking of any off the moment at the moment, but there must be, just like there are classic lines in movies, there must be sort of classic. I the only one I can think of is Doris Day in one of her movies. There's a scene where she puts too much soap in the wash machine and ends up with this laundry room, up to her eyeballs in bubbles. So there must be some good scenes like that that people could that are based on a room.
Okay. Well, do you have anything else that you'd like to add?
I can't think of anything.
Okay.
I do want to really encourage people to come, of course, and I really want to encourage people to try. I understand that sometimes it takes a little encouraging for people to try some of the newer things that are offered at various conventions. I actually emailed someone recently and said, I'm getting kind of worried because on Lugnet, nobody's even posted a comment or a reply of any kind to the Belleville contest posting. So, we are sweating a little bit about the new ones and really hoping that people will take the plunge. And I know in some places right now it is hard to get Belleville parts. What tends to happen is because they have seasonal themes, they have a winter line and a summer line every year. And so during in the spring and in the fall, the stock tends to get a little thin, but you can still get everything online at Lego Shop at Home. And don't forget to ask your lug group if they have daughters that you can borrow, or they themselves have pieces that they can borrow from. Because you really only need a few actual Belleville pieces in your creation for it to qualify for the contest, if you look at the rules, and then you can fill out with just adding some bricks and pieces that are in the Belleville colors. So I hope people understand that and know that they don't have to have a big Belleville collection in order to create something for the contest.
Or participate in a lot of dirty bricksters.
Oh yes, Belleville parts are always fun for Dirty Brickster. You might know Kyle Vries, and last year I put a Belleville bathtub in my Dirty Brickster that he ended up with, and he built the coolest spaceship out of that bathtub.
Well, it was funny. We were at NMRA up in Detroit. And one of our younger members from our train group was there. I think he's 14, maybe 13 or 14 now. He started coming out with his father. His father wanted a way to kind of reconnect with his kids, and so joining a Lego club was their way of doing that. So we're at NMRA. We're up in Detroit, and we're doing Dirty Brickster. And it was nice that Lego helped out with that and provided some of the gifts. And so we have this big round of Dirty Brickster going, and he ends up with a bunch of Belleville parts, and he is crushed because everybody else in the club ended up with either some type of train parts or something else.
Oh
So I took pity on him and I said, here, you can have all of my train stuff. Here, I'll take your Belleville parts. And he felt a little bit better after that, but he still was just the look on his face, it was funny.
yeah, it was when
Course,
I
he
first
didn't
started.
realize what he was giving away either, so I made out.
Right. When I first started building with Belleville, my son's friends would come over and they'd say, "Wow, where did you get that cool part? Where did you get those cool crystals? Where did you get, you know?" And I'd say, "Sorry guys, it was a Belleville set," and they would be so crushed. So yeah, it's true. But
Early on.
now thanks to BrickLink, you don't have to actually buy a Belleville set in order to get the cool Belleville parts. So. Speaking of NMRA, one of the other things that I've been working on as the new attendee coordinator is a glossary of acronyms and terms that will be printed out and included. It probably won't be in the program. We'll probably have it as a separate stapled set of sheets. But it's one of the things that that newbies really have trouble with, and also that our extra event coordinator Barbara has applauded for the non-LEGO significant others to have a copy of that, because you just take it for granted. People start throwing these letters around, and when you're new to the hobby, you're really quite clueless.
My wife's been supportive enough that she manages to pick up half the acronyms, so it's funny. And she's even getting to the point where she can tell the difference between Lego and non-Lego just by feel.
Oh wow,
Because she's been
that's
infected by me so much.
okay. Well, I have to admit that I wasn't happy when they switched plastic. I could tell right away the first time I opened a set in the new plastic.
Yeah.
It was like, what happened? This feels like not Lego. But get used to it.
Yeah.
The new colors have been, I think people have been really enjoying. For so many years there were just the five or whatever it was colors, so that's been a fun addition.
I'm mixed feelings because on one hand I do enjoy the diversity, but at the same time if I'm looking for a part and I've got it
Yeah.
all in old and in the part that I can looking for and it only happens to be a new,
Oh, that color change I'm not happy about. Yeah, like the gray to blay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been pretty rough. People have, who build buildings have adapted fairly well in that, you can sort of tend to mix it together and it looks more like stone. And actually, I have to say that I think that the blay, the dark blay, does look more like rock or stone than the old did. But yeah, I had a very large, since I landscape, I had a very large collection of the old gray, both light and dark, in burps and bricks and whatever, and have not been happy with, yeah,
Yeah.
that's been a bummer. So, and then you build something in sort of the dim light of your basement, and it looks okay, and then you take it somewhere to show, and it's in fluorescent light, and you go, oh no, this looks terrible. So,
Yeah, been there, done that too.
yeah, but I do like the dark red and having pink and some of the other color additions.
Yeah, I just got an email from our young member again that he wants me to go pick up some red, dark red next time I see it on the picket brick wall.
Yes. Yeah. Well, again, especially for people who do room building and how house, to get the other colors for interior decorating and for buildings has been very helpful.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much. And this has been LMAL Radio.